Hey everybody, it's Annette. As a journalist, I scroll through my Twitter feed a lot. You know, I'm always reading news by colleagues and looking for stories that could be good ideas for the Y. So one day, not too long ago, I was scrolling through Twitter and I came across this tweet that really alarmed me.
I turned 31 years old today. I just got a call confirming that I'm positive for the coronavirus. That is some messed up timing.
That's Mike Davis. He's a reporter for the Asbury Park Press in New Jersey. And he was on our show last year talking about his reporting on New Jersey's marijuana black market.
Multiple edibles on all the tables. There was one table where there were various Rice Krispie treats. There was some sort of liquor that was infused with cannabis that was $7 a shot. And then you have your standard dried marijuana, you know, huge jars with the open lids. They'll throw it in your face and let you put your nose in it. You could smell it. There was one guy ready with a UV light to show you all the little different nooks and crannies. And the thing that I've always found interesting.
Shai Binyako, my co-host, our producer, Alex Stern, and I liked Mike right away, not only because of his knowledge of his topic, but because he was just as quick-witted as he was fast-talking. He was just a fun guy. Thank God he's recovered. But we thought it was important that you hear how Mike got through the virus. Because even though he had a quote-unquote mild case of COVID-19, it was the sickest he'd ever been. So here's my conversation with him. Hope you enjoy it. How are you feeling, Mike?
I'm doing good. You know, I look back on it in hindsight, and it's easy to sort of like put it together as one experience that I had. But when I was living through COVID-19, I mean, it was really, you know, the old cliche of one day at a time, except in this case, it was like day one, wake up, feel like you got hit by a truck, spend all day feeling like you got hit by a truck, deal with all of the symptoms, and then go back to bed and do it all again the next day.
So at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, when Governor Murphy issued his stay-at-home order, you chose to quarantine with your parents, and we should note that your parents are doctors, and you chose to quarantine with them despite the fact that it would probably put you at higher risk. Why'd you decide to do that?
My dad's an ER doctor, and my mother's a pediatrician, so they have years and years, decades of medical experience, so it's nice to kind of have that resource. But, I mean, it's also the sense of, and this is true now more than ever, you don't know when this thing is going to end, and especially when the governor put down those restrictions. You know, we didn't think it was going to be 2 weeks. We didn't know if it was going to be 6 months, and that's a long period of time. So the way I thought about it was, this is my family. I don't want to be away from them for the foreseeable future. So if this thing hits us, we'll get through it together. And that's exactly what happened.
It sure did. So when did you start feeling sick?
So as a journalist, the moment I started feeling a little bit of symptoms, I actually started keeping kind of like a journal or a calendar, keeping track of this. So I actually have all of the dates.
That sounds so much like a journalist, doesn't it?
It's, you know, you're
kind of like, I'm getting sick. I may get really sick, but I am going to keep an account of this.
You know, I don't want to say you're trained for this kind of thing, but, you know, you're always on the lookout for the new story. And I don't know if I want to say I'm lucky enough, but I am, in this case, lucky enough to have contracted this virus pretty early on in the process. And at the time, at least in New Jersey, there weren't a lot of first-person accounts of what this was like, especially among people around my age. So the moment I started feeling sick, I really wanted to keep track of what the symptoms were, what my temperature was. And I kept that going for the first couple of days until it was very clear that I had it. And at that point, you know, all bets were off. I would kind of keep track of my temperature, but, you know, the symptoms are the symptoms, and I would deal with them as they came.
You said that, you know, like any good journalist, you started taking notes. Were you sick at the time that you were kind of trying to write about this?
March 19th was a Thursday, and that was the first day that I had a high temperature. It was in the 99s. It wasn't high, and I didn't actually feel that bad. And that was the same thing for about 2 days. And then it was that weekend of the, you know, March 21st was the Saturday, and that was the first day I woke up feeling sick. you know, I didn't quite feel like I had COVID-19 yet, but I woke up and I said, I definitely have something and I have to keep close attention to this. Over the next 48 hours from there, then it became very clear, because that's when the temperature went up to 101, to 102. And as that was going on, you kind of start dealing with the side effects of the temperature. So for me, the big symptom that I was dealing with was chills. And I would go through this weird cycle where I would wake up with a high fever and I would take my daily breakfast of Tylenol. And that would help a little bit. And then when that wore off, I would get these chills. So I would take more Tylenol. I would layer up. At one point, I had on a t-shirt, a hoodie, a sweater over that, and a robe. And then the Tylenol kicks in. So then my temperature goes down. I don't feel as cold. And then I have to take all of the layers off. And it was just, you know, day in, day out. I mean, I kind of dealt with this cycle all the time. So I took a COVID-19 test. It was Monday, March 23rd, through an urgent care center near where I live. And I came in there with a temperature
of... Well, wait a minute. I've never heard of anybody getting tested through an urgent care center. How did you know that you could get a test there?
I'm lucky enough to be a journalist at a news organization in central New Jersey. So we'd actually reported on a couple of them that were starting to offer COVID-19 tests. And, you know, it's a little bit different than the state-run and the FEMA-run testing centers. They're obviously, they can only handle a much smaller amount of patients. But it was actually pretty seamless. I mean, I called on Monday, March 23rd, and I had an appointment for later that afternoon. And I came in with a 104-degree fever.
Oh, my. 104?
Yeah, 104 degrees wasn't great. But it was also, once I knew I was getting a COVID-19 test, I stopped taking the Tylenol, because the last thing I wanted was to show up with a 99-degree fever, because I had been taking the medicine like I'm supposed to. So it was a little bit inflated. And the big thing with me was that, which is probably one of the more important parts of the story, but 24 hours before I got my COVID-19 test, the test came back on my dad, the ER doctor, and he was positive. So at that point, it became pretty clear that I definitely had this disease. So that was on Monday, March 23rd. The next week, the symptoms got about, you know, they stayed about the same. And then on Saturday, March 28th, I turned 31 years old, and I celebrated my birthday by getting a call from the lab telling me that I had, in fact, tested positive for the coronavirus.
Wow. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Asbury Park Press reporter Mike Davis about his bout with COVID-19 and what he's learned from it. So how did it work in the house with both you and your dad sick? Did you guys quarantine yourselves?
We never made a decision about this, but we never quarantined ourselves from the rest of our family. As a family, we didn't leave the house, and there's four of us. It's myself, my parents, and my sister. So we were quarantined from everything else. We have a pantry that has enough food supply to probably last us through the literal apocalypse, so we never had to worry about anything like that. But once the two of us were sick, at least confirmed sick, we had already been living together for the last week, probably while we already had the virus. So by that point, trying to quarantine ourselves into one or two rooms seemed like it was too little too late. Like if two of us had already caught the virus, chances were all four of us are going to catch the virus. And I mean, we got kind of lucky. My mother and my sister, they never really got that sick. They each had a day where they felt kind of under the weather, and then the next day they were fine. So we probably lucked out in that regard. But when we were actually going through the throes of this, if we had to limit ourselves to one or two rooms, I mean, I'll speak for myself, I would have completely snapped. I mean, just the chance to walk from a bedroom to a living room to a bathroom and a kitchen, I mean, that's the exercise I'm going to get for the day. That's the only social interaction I'm going to be able to have. And trying to limit myself to one or two rooms, that wouldn't have really worked.
How sick did your dad get, Mike?
His symptoms were a little bit different than mine. he had more respiratory symptoms, whereas I had the chills and stuff like that. And just like I never really had the cough, he definitely had the cough, and his temperature never really got as high as mine did.
Was there ever a time during your illness when you thought, geez, I'm starting to feel really sick, maybe I should go to the hospital?
It never got that bad. One of the benefits of, you know, when you're living in a house with two doctors is that we have, you know, not just thermometers here, but we have a machine called a pulse ox, which takes both your heart rate and your oxygen levels. So it's nice to have kind of an objective thing right there. And I check my oxygen levels every day, just like I check my temperatures, and they never got too low. The one symptom that I wasn't experiencing through all of this was really anything respiratory. I didn't have the cough that everybody knows about. I would cough here and there, but it was usually as a result of the general exhaustion that came with having this virus. For example, every night I would go up to bed, I go upstairs, I walk in my room, and I would have to immediately collapse on a chair because it was just so exhausting to pick myself up off the couch, walk up a flight of stairs, and then sit on another piece of furniture. But I never really had oxygen levels that went too far that I got worried. And usually what you see is that's the problem. I mean, there's a reason people are going on ventilators, and it's because of these respiratory symptoms.
Huh.
I never had the loss of taste or smell, but I did completely lose my appetite for about a week. I would make myself something to eat, and I would stare at it, and I would put it in the fridge because my stomach turned at the thought of trying to eat it. And that lasted for about a week. The first sign that I actually knew I was getting better was my folks had cooked themselves steak that night. And my dad had similar symptoms with the loss of appetite, but by that point he was getting a little bit better with it. And they asked me if I wanted a piece of steak, and I said, well, I would like to. I don't know if I'm going to be able to eat it. And I stared at the steak, and I took a bite, and I said, yes, I am definitely ready to eat this steak. And that was the first time that I thought, maybe I'm actually getting better now.
So, Mike, what do you want people to know about this disease? You're a millennial. You're a young guy. You caught it. What do you want people to know?
When I wrote a column about this, it was really two things I wanted to get out there. One of which I think we're actually past, and that was there was this myth for a while that young people weren't going to get this disease, that it really only affected senior citizens, that it really only affected people with comorbid conditions. And here I am, I'm 31 years old. People keep telling me that's young, even though I feel very old. And here I am contracting COVID-19. So I wanted to make sure people understood that young people do get this disease. But the other thing was, and this is a myth that still persists today, is that, oh, well, if I get COVID-19, I'm just going to get the flu. Or, oh, yeah, I'll get a cold, I'll get a temperature for a couple days, and that's it. And while there are certainly asymptomatic cases, when people talk about 80% or 85% of cases are mild, mild means a lot of things. And for me, personally, a mild case, which is what I had, meant almost 2 weeks where I physically couldn't pick myself up off the couch without having to almost recover like it was a workout. It meant 10 days, it meant almost 2 weeks of every day waking up, picking my head off the pillow, and basically deciding, I think I need to go back to bed because I don't know if I can get out of bed right now. And that's a pretty serious virus. That's something you have to look out for. And that's something that's worth preventing. So when restrictions come down about wearing masks in public and staying home as much as possible, that's why I think it's important. And that's what I'm trying to get out there, is that this is a very serious thing. You can't treat it like anything else we've dealt with before.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for talking to us about your experience.
Of course, anytime.
That was Asbury Park Press reporter Mike Davis. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll talk to you Monday.